Welcome to the Film Rescue Show. We're lending a helping hand to Hollywood and hypothetically fixing their feature films. I'm joined today by Jesse.
Hello.
And Nick Wolf, who's been on a bunch of episodes at this point.
Hey, it's nice to not have the burden of proof for one of these for once.
Yeah, you get to just sit back and wag your finger at this movie. We're talking about Pan from 2015, directed by Joe Wright, who, for all intents and purposes, is a good director. I'm very curious as to what happened here. Initially wanted to do this as a quick fix episode because you can kind of pitch from anywhere that you want, any angle you want. Peter Pan is a very flexible character. However, when I watched it and from what I had read about it, this is like a very interesting tire fire.
Yeah. In many, many ways.
Yeah. We will get into the issues in a minute. I would like to start off with positives as we do. Nick, let's start with you. What did you enjoy about this movie?
The first half of this movie was buck wild, and I absolutely loved how bizarre it was. We start off with the the orphanage stuff, and that's kind of whatever. But then the pirates start bungee jumping in through the roof of the orphanage, and then they go into space and they pass Saturn, and then we are at the mining scene, and all the pirates are doing Smells Like Teen Spirit, and Blackbeard singing along with it. I was just really hoping, is the movie going to keep up this crazy energy? And we'll talk about the second half later. But for the first half, I was really jiving with this movie.
Yeah, I actually, you know what? I want to get into the Smells Like Teen Spirit thing. What?
It makes no sense in any regard.
It just comes and goes, and like performance wise, I have no issue. Like in a vacuum, their performance of the song, cool, a cappella, chanty, Nirvana, I'm fine with it.
Where's that sea shanty on TikTok?
Right. Well, yeah, because like, what was the thinking of the decision here?
Maybe there was a part of the script where it's like, oh, Neverland is like a nexus outside of time, and the pirates just hunt orphans throughout the time stream. Like, wouldn't it be like a little too early to get into fixing that, but wouldn't it be really cool when we get to the Lost Boys section and we see people with future clothes, tattered future clothes on?
I mean, sure. If that had been what, if they wanted to keep up the, like you said, buck wild kind of attitude, that may have made it make more sense. My only thought was, oh, is like Kurt Cobain a Lost Boy and he's going to show up and then at the end of the movie he gets to go home and then grows up to be in Nirvana? No, that didn't happen. They just know this song and sing it when boats come back.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. I am so confused. Continuing with the positives, I had to get that out. And it's going to happen again when we get to the Ramones.
It's not the only licensed song, though. There's Blitzkrieg Bop, Short Change, yeah. Hero, Something's Not Right. Like,
yeah.
Why? I don't know. It just... Continue.
Like, it's not a musical.
No, it's not. It tries to be because Hugh Jackman is a musician in many ways. He does Broadway,
right.
But this is the wrong place for that.
I am beyond confused. And if you enjoy that section of the movie, I'm fine with that. Like, I don't want to take that joy away. I just am at a loss of what it's adding to the movie.
Don't worry, the second half of the movie does a great job in taking away the joy of that first half.
Right.
Any other movie would be fine.
Sure. I mean, if that was part of it, I guess. But even contextually, I don't understand. Jesse, positives, if you have any.
Man, you're making me dig for this one. I'm thinking. the World War II bombers and the fighter planes trying to catch the ship and destroy it when it's escaping in the beginning of the movie. That was cool.
Cool visual. Yeah, I agree.
There's some okay visual effects. There's a lot of bad ones, too.
World War II planes fighting flying airships.
Yeah, that stuff's good. Doesn't fit in this movie, but it's cool. Man, I'm really...
Could you tell he would go on to direct Darkest Hour?
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I don't have anything else. Oh, the ending of the movie when they end up in Lost Izalith from Dark Souls 1. That was kind of cool. You know that's what it was. Dark Souls came out, like, what, 2 years before this?
I think so. Do we know? Is he a gamer?
God, no. Of course he isn't. But you can just do. You look at that and you're just like, oh yeah, somebody on the production staff or the CGI team, yeah, they're gamers.
Oh yeah,
it
absolutely
looks just like it,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Positive wise, man, you know, the only thing that I could think during this movie was that Garrett Hedlund, who was playing Hook, knew that he was playing a character that would eventually be evil. And I feel like his performance was intentionally crazy over the top so that it would make sense by the time he's Captain Hook. Because otherwise, I do not know why you would play that character that way. Captain Hook's American?
No.
I guess? Yeah, that's the only thing I could think was like, oh, hey, in two movies when he's the bad guy, this is going to be really fun. Right now in this movie, it's not so much. What did I say in the group chat? He sounds like Christian Bale trying to do an impression of Gary Busey.
I even said when I was watching this, I was like, I'm putting this bastard into the amalgam human being. Jivanich Kinnamington Bell Woodland.
Right. Overall, I think the references to other Peter Pan films, like when they get to the Native American section of the island, it looks like Hook. Like, it's got that really popping color palette.
Oh, yeah, this movie is like completely ripping off that film.
Yeah, 100%. And to the degree that I guess you could argue that if this trilogy happened, it could still tie into the Pan movie from 2003, and then it could also tie into Hook. Like, you could watch it as a long-running series, I guess. That's ambitious. I'll give him that. apart from that,
you got to dig real hard, and there's not much else.
Yeah, I was really hard-pressed. The kid, Levi Miller, I wish the script gave him more, because the one scene where he can really act towards the end, like, he really gets to put his back into it, I was like, oh, this kid's actually, like, a good actor. I'm feeling the emotion that's being brought across here. He's kind of boring otherwise in the movie, but that's kind of the movie's fault.
Well, everybody's kind of boring.
Yeah, yeah. Blackbeard is, there's way more going on there than what we were shown, and I feel like we just talked about this with Hellboy. Stop putting all your eggs in a basket. Stop assuming that this is going to be the next big thing, and just make a move, because we get none of the Peter Pan lore that we know. Hook is not evil, he doesn't lose his hand, the crocodile doesn't eat the clock. Blackbeard has never been part of the lore. We kind of get nothing overall in regards to Peter Pan stuff, except for Neverland and Peter Pan. Those are the we have the things, but no actual use with them. So I was, I think, mostly upset by that at the end, because I enjoy most things Peter Pan. It's been a favorite since I was a kid. I watched the Disney movie kind of on repeat, so I was excited for there to be at least, like, nods to stuff, and we didn't get those, and instead we got very confusing stuff. I say we move on into the negatives, unless anyone else has anything else to bring up.
Nope, go ahead. Negative time.
Here we go. Nick, what did you not like about this movie?
So I said the first half is very Buck Wild, and I actually did enjoy it, but then we get into the Chosen One stuff, and then the Lost Boy, this would be better with the Lost Boys, the Chosen One stuff that's boring, we get the Native stuff, which, okay, Rooney Mara plays Tiger Lily, sure, let's go with that.
Very eclectic cast for the village.
Yeah,
I'm hard pressed.
Did you mean racist?
Yeah, I'm hard pressed to know what to call them because you can't really call them Native Americans because they're from Neverland.
Are they?
They're not. Yeah, they're Native Neverlandians.
Okay,
sure.
And Indian is not the right term. It was back in the early 1900s, but we've kind of progressed as a society since then. I don't know exactly what to call them.
Miscast is what I would call them. How about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry to interrupt you, Nick.
Oh, God.
I'm cool.
That it?
Yeah, no. It's just, they really dragged in the second half, and it's disappointing. There. I'm good.
No, I don't disagree.
And also, when Peter gets the full power of Neverland at the end, I was really hoping that the fairies would start eating Blackbeard's pirates like the scarabs in the Brendan Fraser Mummy movie, and just bite them down to the bone. That would have redeemed the whole thing for me.
I'm glad that you're bringing up darker visions of Peter Pan. Maybe that's a hint towards what I'm doing with my pitch.
I was actually in my senior year high school play for Peter Pan, actually. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was also kind of close to me. I was Nana the dog.
Nice. Jesse, how about you? Confused, upset, issues with the movie? What do we got going on here?
It's boring. Very boring. The visual effects. So, how much money did this cost? How much did this cost?
$150 million.
Oh my God. Why is it like half the visual effects look good and half of them look bad? There is one shot in particular, and it's when, Hugh Jackman is standing over Peter Pan in a hut in the Lost Village.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Jivanich Kinnamington Bull Woodlands dives in through the roof, and it's clearly like photoshopped in where he reaches down on a rope and pulls him out of the hut. You know what shot I'm talking about?
Yeah, I follow.
Yeah, that looks so bad. I'm just, God.
I do not disagree. I think the one that hurt me the most was the escape from the slave hole when they're up in the I don't know, the trams, the ski lifts.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
That was genuinely ugly to me. Yeah.
Which then got ripped off, I think, in Kingsman 2.
Yeah, but at least they did it better.
Yeah, true. Oh God damn. Like
the only effect I remember from the movie is when the Blackbeard crew invades the Lost Tribe or whatever, and when they when they kill people, they turn into colorful clouds of smoke.
Oh, what? Right. What was the deal with that?
It's kind of Burning Man, I guess.
Neverland.
I think you mentioned it was Hook, the food fight.
Yeah. I mean, the color palette there is very obviously they're going for the food fight in Hook. Mm. I don't know why, and
but
I don't know when it adds
deadly
to the movie. Yeah.
This movie is, like, so devoid of a director's vision.
Yeah.
This is clearly, like, work for hire or something like that. It doesn't feel like there's no narrative thrust. There's no, like, so they're going to go and they're going to find the fairy cave or something? Well, why?
To keep Hugh Jackman young.
No, but I mean, like, but why does Peter Pan want to do that? Why does he want to go?
Because he wants to find his mom, right? Wasn't that Amanda
Seyfried?
But
he was already told that she's dead.
Well, I mean,
but just this movie is
I mean, I could tell you, but it doesn't matter.
No, none of it matters. That's the problem. It's trying to string together all these different set pieces, and they don't feel like there's any emotional investment because who the hell was clamoring for this movie?
Right.
There was no demand for this.
But at least we got those Neverbirds.
Oh God, those are fucking nightmare fuel.
I said they look like the Fieries from Labyrinth. The guys that like pull their own heads off and toss them around. They look just like that to me.
They looked a little bit like the Skeksis from Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh God, just why is, and not only that, the CGI on those was awful. Why are there no puppets in this movie?
I mean, I wish I knew, to be honest. Like the fact that this movie wasn't more practical when it would be really easy to do practically.
Yeah, and the other problem is that they shot the whole film on celluloid, and the compositing is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many problems with compositing because we've pointed this out on multiple episodes, like Rise of Skywalker, the DC movies. Like, you can't shoot these kinds of films on celluloid because everything is high definition now.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you composite the hell out of it and clean up all the matte lines, it's gonna look awkward no matter what you do. So shoot these things digital. These need to be shot on digital cameras. This is the wrong place for celluloid. This is not a prestige film. This is not a legacy film. This is, I don't even know what this is.
Well, and you even have cinematographers like Roger Deakins going, yeah, why are we not shooting on digital more, guys? That is, if you're going to do more CGI, do more digital. And he's kind of like, you know, the king of camera work. Listen to him, I guess.
Yeah, wasn't Blade Runner 2049 shot on digital?
Yeah, and doesn't it look fucking amazing?
Yeah, it looks amazing. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, if you have, like, millions and millions of dollars behind it. What matters is the techniques that are used are what are going to guarantee the quality.
Yeah.
If you're doing a CGI-intensive film, you should be shooting it digitally because you're going to change it in post anyways.
Right.
This just feels like Joe Wright did it because this is what I've always filmed it on, and this is what I know, and didn't take the time to really learn digital.
Yeah.
Were any of his previous movies shot on digital?
I don't believe so. I know Pride and Prejudice wasn't. I've not seen Atonement.
Atonement is very
good.
It's not what you think it is. The trailers are very misleading.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's not what you think it is. The trailers sell it as a love story. Oh, it's not that.
No, okay.
It's not.
And then I'm trying to think. I know I saw Hannah, but I can't recall if that was digital or not.
I don't think it was.
I really liked Hannah. I could point out a lot of issues. I think blandness is the biggest sin of this movie. And for me, you could kind of tell that this is WB, and this is shortly after they had closed the book on Harry Potter, mm-hmm. and they were deciding whether or not they were going to start a new child-led series or do Fantastic Beasts. And they did both, and both weren't good, so not sure if that's a sign or not.
I think at this point, people had kind of gotten over the whole chosen one kid with a destiny storyline. I think Harry Potter kind of drove that into the pavement.
Well, exactly.
Did anything else come out after that that actually made profit or was generally received positively?
From WB specifically or with that
or just
plot
anything,
line?
Any company producing a film that had the chosen one kid storyline.
No, I mean, it's it is kind of a waned thing. And that was maybe the biggest like slap in the face of the whole movie is we don't need to know that Peter Pan is special. We know he's special. Like, kind of the point is that he's a fantastic leader and this kind of over-the-top character. And so for the movie to take this nosedive about 30 minutes in and go, oh, is he the child of the prophecy? And it's like, what? Why the fuck do we need this in our Peter Pan?
Yeah, and not just that, like, a prophecy for what? Is he meant to lead these people to freedom or something like that? Is it ever said what the hell it's supposed to do? It's just there. I pointed this out that it's a writer's crutch.
100%.
Lean on this when you can't think of anything else.
And this is our second episode in a row where we've run into this issue. It is becoming painfully obvious that naming a character the child of prophecy. I think I said this in the group chat. Like, it works for Dune because Dune is subverting it on purpose. Like, the point is, hey, child of prophecy isn't a good thing, and also, even if it were, it's not always going to go great.
Yeah, and it's also commenting on it in that in the book, it's pointed out that it's actually fake. It's seeded on that planet, so that way the lower class individuals of that planet, the Fremen, will continue to allow foreigners to invade their land because they think, oh, well, one day, you know, our savior will arrive, and it just, by cosmic happenstance, it just happens to come true.
Right.
It was never intended to happen.
And then you look at other things that do it, like, for instance, Star Wars. Nick, I know you and I have chatted at nauseam about Star Wars. The point of Star, the chosen one in Star
Wars. More to say about Star Wars, either this season or the next.
I think the point in Star Wars is that the lines are kind of blurred as to whether it's Anakin or Luke, or I guess Rey, if you want to keep those movies around.
Or going back to our prequel talk, Han, because he saved Luke from being blown up by Vader in episode 4.
Right, exactly. It like the lines are purposefully blurred to the degree that it almost makes the Chosen One prophecy unimportant.
Yeah.
So I'm just shocked that they want to hook their whole movie and their, I guess, burgeoning franchise. This is just, I mean, to
hook the whole movie. That's funny.
This is just another example of a blunderbuster to me.
Sorry, yeah. I'm looking at what WB has released in the 2010s, and I saw that has a Chosen One prophecy-ish. I saw the Lego movie, which not sure if that counts, and Ready Player One.
Oh, God. They are, I mean, kind of stretched for content at this point. I don't even know how to help WB at this point. Like, I love that they kind of enable a lot of filmmakers to do cool stuff. Like, you know, James Gunn has nothing but good things to say about WB, so I'm hoping he's got a good movie coming out. But I think they're need for profit pushes them into these really like bland milquetoast movies.
Yeah, it's, you know, this blanket the entire market as best you can as a means of making profit. It's not about, you know, it's more quantity over quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly. So, I mean, sometimes you get lucky with like a Mad Max Fury Road, which came out the same year as this.
Right.
But that was a rare instance when they just let the filmmaker do whatever they wanted.
Right, exactly. And they have been, I think, praised for that comparatively to like the MCU, where you bring in a director to make your movie, not bring in a director to make their movie. WB is capable of swinging for the fences, but I think when they try to make these like legacy series, that's where they don't bring in a talent to like pick out what to do. Like, for instance, what if Taika Waititi was brought in to imagine the Pan prequel?
Then it might actually have some quality, I guess, because he would put a level of humor into it. That's the biggest problem with this movie. It's just devoid of humor.
Oh, yeah. And when it tries to be funny, it is painfully not funny.
Yeah, it's people trying too hard, working with material they don't have any affinity for.
Right.
Yeah. I think that might be the problem, is that G.R. Wright was just brought in as director for hire.
Right. So I have a question for you guys. Based on the movie that we saw, let's assume they were just going to do two movies. Let's this one, and then they were going to finish up with the next one. What does the next movie even look like with this as the launching pad?
Oh, I don't even know.
Pan and Hook probably going to have a falling out at the end of the second one, probably resulting in Pan cutting off Hook's hand, and then third one
no,
is
the crocodile
Peter Pan
takes
we're familiar
with. The crocodile takes his hand.
Yeah. I thought Peter Pan cut off the hand and fed it to the crocodile, or is that just Disney playing tricks on my memory?
So it depends on which book you read, because yeah. Peter Pan lore is like purposefully obfuscated. Like they're every book has a different story, and it's kind of like the Joker in Dark Knight, where Peter Pan retelling stories is always different because he's a kid telling stories. So both are true. The crocodile ate his hand, was thrown his hand, and ate the hand after being cut off.
Speaking of
which one you like.
Speaking of differing Peter Pan stories, what if the sequels went with the one of those alternate theories is like, actually, Hook is the hero and Peter is a sociopath.
Oh, yeah. A nuanced take of, like, the reason they don't get along is because Hook is an adult and Peter Pan doesn't want to grow up would be wonderful to watch.
And the prophecy goes to his head and feeds his ego.
There you go.
Star Wars.
You could do a lot of things with it, for sure. I'm just curious. I think maybe for this segment, what I wanted to do was all of us put on our big, dumb Hollywood producer brains and do like the whatever the terrible sequel to this was going to be. Pan 2.
They go to the first star to the right and they see what's going on over there.
Okay.
There you go. Invent new crap because there's like you can only get so much mileage out of this.
Sure.
They go back to Earth and they help the Allies win World War II.
Oh.
They give Hitler the pixie dust to help his soldiers fly, but that just makes his soldiers easier targets.
That's dark.
I mean, the idea of, like, it's nebulous, like, oh, think a happy thought in order to fly, but it's like, happy thoughts are different for everybody, so it's like, I don't know. Just...
Also, is the emotionality of the thought the thing, or do you have to become happy because of the thought? Like, is it more important that the thought is happy in a vacuum, or does the thought have to make you happy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a problem. It's like, who gives a crap?
Yeah, it's not that we have to like explain the magic system of Neverland, but I've always found it, because people only learn they can fly when they're falling, and the idea that you would get happy while falling doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. No, I'd be terrified.
And I like the idea that like. Blackbeard was covered in pixie dust but falls to his death because he's incapable of being happy. Like that's a nice thought to me. Like I like that for the ending for a villain. Not sure why it has to be Blackbeard, but you know, why not Hook's dad, you know?
I mean, that's another problem is that there is no personal connection between the hero and the villain in this film.
Oh yeah.
That's the thing about Hook and Peter Pan and the other stories is that they have a personal connection.
Right.
There's a reason why they fight. So,
going back to the idea that Neverland is an area that exists outside of time, wouldn't it be great if like one of Peter's friends went missing like a day before he did, and then when Peter got there, he realizes that Hook is his friend, all grown up now and jaded.
Interesting. I could see that playing out. I mean, you have to set up that he's friends with a kid, James Hook, at the beginning. Another issue that I have with this movie overall, not that they intentionally did this, the lore of Peter Pan is that he went to Neverland as a baby. Like, he was taken there. He didn't grow up in our world, and that's why our world is so foreign to him, versus in this movie, it's like, oh no, he got to grow up to be like a 10-year-old kid in our world.
But Seth, how else could we take pot shots at the Catholic Church?
Which I'm, you know, always pleased to see. But
who doesn't like doing that?
I found it.
I mean, then again, they take their own shots at themselves these days.
That's true. That is very true. Yeah, I found it a little confusing to be like, well, why is it important for us to see Pan as a kid in our world when in the books it is like very directly his pram got pushed away. He was taken to Neverland by fairies and raised by fairies, and that's why he can that's why he doesn't need fairy dust to fly. It's because he was raised by and around them so much. It's kind of like in his system, I guess.
Is he the offspring of a normal person and a fairy?
Yes.
Yeah.
His mom was normal person. His dad was fairy king.
Okay, but so within the lore of this movie, here's the issue with that. Don't they say that fairies can only be human for a day?
Yeah. But his mom is like human for a while.
But then, so she got pregnant as a fairy, assumably, not as a human.
So wouldn't that make him a fairy?
I think the point is Pan is a daywalker.
I mean,
he has all the strengths of the fairies and none of their weaknesses.
So did she like become human on the day that she gave birth to him?
No, she was human.
No, she was a fairy.
No, she was human. The dad was a fairy and became human for a day.
Okay. I follow.
The fact that we have to debate this shows that it's very confusing. They didn't work.
Yes.
Yeah, some fairy is always trying to fly uphill or whatever.
So Peter's half fairy, which like it just is even more frustrating to me because in the books he's half bird. That's why he flies.
Oh, is that why he jumps on the back of the weird nightmare birds in the?
Yeah.
In the,
yeah. You mean the Avatar moment?
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Fuck the Avatar. Oh, Jesus Christ. This movie is like ripping off other better stuff.
The whole way through, literally the whole way through the movie.
Again, it's another key point that it's not a director's vision. It's ripping off from other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this WB list more. Does Jupiter Ascending count as a chosen one story?
Kind of, sort of, I guess.
Yeah. I would dance around it maybe a little bit only because wasn't the actual like hard thing to swallow in that movie was that she was the reincarnation of this like thousands of year old alien.
She is the exact genetic duplicate of the House Abraxas's mom.
Right. That's not how DNA works.
Nope. We already fixed that movie. Move on.
Yeah. There's so little in this movie, and yet there are so many baffling decisions. We went over the Nirvana thing. It also comes back again when they do the Ramones for a second for fun. And then there's no more music for the rest of the movie. Like,
yeah,
as far as like musical numbers like that.
I think everybody just kind of gave up about halfway through.
It feels like that.
People on their set were just like, what the fuck are we doing?
That's when the Coke ran out.
Please don't do coke in the bathroom.
Yes. Stop giving coke to Levi Miller. He's a child. I want to just kind of briefly touch on and then move on from the terrible casting decision and the series of terrible casting decisions made in this movie. I think it gets more frustrating to me when you realize how many people are involved in casting in a movie that kept making the same choice. So Rooney Mara is Tiger Lily, and canonically Tiger Lily is Native American, and yeah. Rooney Mara is not.
No, she is the most milky, white, pasty human being I think I've ever seen.
I loved her her midsummer headdress in this movie.
I think I commented that looked like it was a headdress made from leftover craft supplies from Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Normally when we touch on these things, it's obviously bad, and then we just kind of move on. But it sat on my brain for a little while last night because. Basically, when this happens, and we talked about this with Hellboy, it took Ed Skrein turning down the role to make that not happen in Hellboy so that we could actually have a, you know, Asian character in the film. So not only did Rooney Mara say yes, assumably her agent and manager said yes, and so did the casting director, and so did the director, and so did the studio. So there's like, there's a chain of culpability here, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's crazy that that many people can sign off on something, and at no point during the line does anyone go, hey, is this actually a good idea? Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah, like, there's not a single Native American actress available?
Right.
Not a single one, huh?
And
this feels like boardroom talk. Like, well, we should get this person to play this role because it's appropriate, but audiences don't care. They're not going to give a shit. And then, of course, it's the thing everybody points out.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's wrong-headed thinking from very upper-class white people.
And I think the movie intentionally tried to cover it up by casting lots of different races as the Neverlandian people. Because you have Jack Charles as the chief, who's Aboriginal. And then you have Nate Ju as Quahu, the warrior that fights Hook in the trampoline. He's also not Native American. So were they just trying to say, like, the Neverlandians are a bunch of different races, and that's why it's okay that Tiger Lily is white? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
It feels like they were trying to cover it up. Also, I headcanon want to believe that Quahu is Rufio's dad. I need to believe that. I really need to believe that.
God. You know who else said, everybody's mixed race. It all seems appropriate. M. Night Shyamalan with Avatar.
Oh. Whoops.
Moving on. We get it. The movie's racist. We get it.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up the wrongheadedness of how many, like, anytime there's like a racial issue in casting, it is not one person to get the blame. It is like a series of at least six people.
And yeah, there's a lot of people that make these decisions on, especially on a film of this scale.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one made the right decision anyway through anywhere. Like, Rooney Mara could have just left the project, but I guess she was hard up for cash or something. I don't know.
Right. And I think the thing that frustrates me the most is saying no to this kind of project makes someone look so good by comparison, because we're so used to these fuck ups at this point that the bare minimum is turning down the job. And people are like, holy shit, this is like a big step for race in America. And it's like, oh my Jesus Christ. Is that how far the bar has dropped?
You think Rooney Mara and her sister Kate had a bet to see which of their 2015 movies would be the bigger box office bomb between Pan and Fantastic?
Damn. I'm gonna say Kate won that one. Kate won that one.
Yeah.
Is there much else to say? This is just such a bland movie. I feel like we're reaching to hit the 55-minute mark for the break.
There's nothing to really recommend. It's just it's incredibly boring the entire way through. I actually had to stop and take a break halfway through.
Yeah.
Right after they escape, and I was like, I'm not drunk enough for this, so I went and got dinner and had a couple of beers, came back and just plowed through it. And every single time it felt like the movie was about to end, it kept going.
Oh, yeah.
The movie has, like, four endings to it, and it just keeps going and going and going. It's like, oh, my God, just fucking end already. This movie's like, is this 2 hours?
111 minutes, so just shy.
Oh, God, it feels like it's longer, but it should be shorter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, this just, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're knocking this one off the shit list, but God,
get
damn,
it out of the
man.
Way early so we can get to the more interesting stuff later on in the season.
Yeah, I just, oh, God.
Apparently, Nick and Jesse Ferguson are going to make me watch Spider-Man 3 finally.
Yeah.
Finally. All right.
Watch the editor's cut.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll make it a lot better.
It's shorter, I think.
Is
it? I think it is shorter, yeah.
Oh, nice. This is like a hard, not even drunk recommend from me.
There's nothing in this movie that I would ever recommend. Nothing.
Go to YouTube and search for the Smells Like Teen Spirit scene. You'll get what you want out of it and nothing else.
Yeah, if that's all you need out of the film, you can definitely watch that clip in isolation, and it might actually make more sense in isolation.
Sure.
That's it. I forget who suggested this one. I think it was an email write-in. I get why you picked this. Next time, could we watch something that like has anything worth talking about?
Yeah, like I said, this is a very bland film. Bland, bland, bland. It is wafer thin bland.
Yeah.
Not even enough to really comment on. I mean, we're only like what, a half hour into the episode, like a little over that, and it's like we're already reaching the point where we're tapped out.
Yep,
I think this is going to be a short episode.
This might take shortest episode of the season.
Oh God.
Thanks for joining, Nick.
The season's still young.
It's true. I think this is a good place to take a break. I'm going to do plugs right now. Welcome to the middle of the episode. This is where we like to shout out all of our patrons. You could become a patron too, patreon.com/Manchester Media. Access is only $1. We have other tier levels with other wonderful things that go along with them. But let's just shout out the people that make this show possible. I want to say thank you to every single one of these people. Starting from the oldest and going up to our newest ones, we'll start with Hannah Yike, Lou Wilkerson, J.D. Martin, Jessica Gronsbell, Billy Mace III, Chris Chipman, Brendan Agnew, Aaron Moriarty, Jesse Fresco, Nick Wolf, Victor Grubb, Jesse Ferguson, Paresh, Walter Pavlik, Veronica Carden, Dan Purcell, Gainstager, who's new, Geeks with Shields, who's a friend of the show, and our newest patron, Joshua Meyer, who you also know from the show. Thank you so much to everyone who has been helping us out. I really appreciate it. You all are wonderful. Now back to the episode. Welcome back to the show. We are talking about Pan from 2015, and I was a little let down, to say the least. I don't know about you guys, but didn't have a great time. So I want to start my pitch with a question for you guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary to do a Peter Pan prequel?
No.
Or would it be better to do a Peter Pan new story?
New story, please.
New. We like new.
Perfect.
Isn't Peter Pan public domain at this point?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can do basically anything you want.
Exactly. So, that being kept in mind, there are a couple aspects from Pan proper that I would like to keep. For instance, the flying ships are awesome. I think they look really cool. I love the visual of these, like, you know, ships floating along through the air. It reminds me of Final Fantasy. I want to keep that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all I'm going to keep. what I would like to propose is I think the idea behind a Pan prequel is to explain things, right? You want to give like explanations, backstory, that kind of stuff. And I don't think you have to do a prequel to do that.
No.
I would like to propose a Peter Pan story that focuses in on the fact that Peter Pan definitely lives on flat Earth, right? Because
yeah. You think about it,
and I like flat earthers are the bane of my existence. I get hate from them at least once a week because I talk shit on them so often on Twitter. I still like the idea of a flat Earth in fantasy. I think it's a fun setup. The second start of the right and straight on until morning thing, they're basically just going up and away from the flat Earth. Like, our world is the bottom of this domain, and you can go up into these other new and interesting levels. So,
Look at the sunrise, Tink. Where do you see the curvature there?
You see, they have mirrors up there that are reflecting the sun back at us, and that way it looks like the Earth is around, but it's not.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
How it works, Wendy, Michael, John.
The Darling
family comes back as flat earthers.
I am cutting all of those characters out of the movie. There's no Wendy, Michael, John, Nana. Sorry, Nick. I'm cutting your character out of the movie.
That's fine.
I want to do a movie about Peter Pan and the Lost Boys. That's the title I'm going with as well. Peter Pan and the Lost Boys.
They're not vampires. Okay.
Yeah. Correct. Not Kiefer Sutherland. The overall pitch is basically do Treasure Island, except for instead of it being one kid getting kidnapped, it is the Lost Boy crew going off on an adventure and getting kidnapped by a new set of pirates. You have to, you know, up the ante from Captain Hook. Are you guys familiar with the comedy troupe on YouTube, Auntie Donna?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want those three to be our new villains.
Okay.
Because we were mentioning, like, we want there was no comedy in this movie, so how about a comedy trio as our, like, new crew of pirates? I think they would be really, really fun to kind of add into this, like, I guess road movie. Is that technically what Treasure Island counts as?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, most treasure hunting stories are road movies because you're going from place to place. I mean, even like Indiana Jones is kind of a road movie.
Yeah, actually, I never thought about it like that. You are not wrong.
They're road movies. They have a map. Like, you're going from place to place, finding clues, and then you get to your destination. It's a road movie. Get from here to there.
I like that. It frustrates me for a second, but then I'm like, you know, actually, the more I think about it, it might actually make the movie better. yeah, so that's my, like, if I were making a movie for WB and they needed it to be able to spin off into some kind of series.
Seth, for your pitch, are you going to keep the part where the ships fly into space? Then you can make it Peter Pan meets Treasure Planet instead of just Treasure Island.
Well, that's kind of what I was going for here. They're not going over the high seas. However, it's not like Treasure Planet in that it's like, you know, three-dimensional outer space. They're just kind of like going up through the flat Earth tube, I guess, is what that is.
And they're not wearing helmets or anything for space?
Correct. No helmets. There's in flat Earth, there's atmosphere because there is no space. It is just up.
That's why they were able to breathe in the movie. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there's atmosphere.
Sorry, I have to say this. Jimmy Neutron now makes so much more sense to me how they're able to just breathe in space. They live on a flat Earth.
Jimmy Neutron lives on a flat Earth.
Think about it. The science in that show makes no sense.
Goddamn, I hate flat earthers, but boy do I love the idea of the flat earth. So all the other planets are circles, but Earth is flat? Is that what you're telling me?
Sure.
Okay, anyways. I'm sorry that this turned into a tirade against flat earthers, but that's my pitch. So if I'm in producer pants, if I need a, you know, $50 million movie to make some money, that's the one I'm going with. My alternative pitch, I would like to harken back to the early days of Film Rescue when Devin and I seemed to only be able to pitch dark versions of movies. Mm-hmm. And I thought it might be really fun to kind of toss around ideas for a dark Peter Pan, like bordering on R-rated kind of Peter Pan story. Like, I want to see Hook's hand get lost. I want to see him force feed a clock to a crocodile. I think that would be a fun little exercise that we could run with for a minute. Nick, you had mentioned a couple dark things earlier in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do in a dark Peter Pan?
Already mentioned Peter Pan and the Lost Boys helped the Allied powers win World War II.
That story actually exists. That actually
oh, really?
What?
It's a comic book series called Peter Panzerfaust.
Are you? You're joking.
It literally exists. It exists.
Peter Panzerfaust?
Yeah. Look it up.
Holy shit! this actually looks kind of good.
It is good.
This is wild. What a world we live in.
That was the idea I was going to go with. If you're going to have it set in World War II, have them assisting in World War II.
So is Hook a Nazi?
I think Hook is a Nazi, yes.
Oh, I'm looking at one of the covers. He's got the eagle on his hook.
Yeah.
This is really cool. I didn't know this existed until just now. Yeah, it's a new pitch. Make this.
Yeah, make that.
Have you read much of the series? Is there any like cool little tidbits? I'm looking at Tinkerbell. Looks like she's straight out of Mad Max.
I think she is part of the French Resistance, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And the Lost Boys are kind of, it's told from the perspective of multiple Lost Boys, and it's like Peter Pan is not the main character.
Okay.
It's like a journalist that's interviewing the Lost Boys as they're old and dying, and so they're reflecting back on their time serving with Peter Pan in World War II.
Oh my God.
So every story arc is from a different character's perspective.
Elijah Wood did the voice of Peter in the audiobook version. This is gold.
What was the name of that documentary Peter Jackson did, recoloring old footage? They Will Not Grow Old.
Yeah, They Will Not Grow Old.
Yeah, that's the subtitle.
I'm just like scrolling through the images. There's an Indiana Jones knockoff, like cover Peter Panzerfaust and the Great Escape from the Golden Hook, and it looks just like an Indiana Jones cover. This is so cool.
Yeah. That was my choice, was to just adapt that storyline. If you want to go dark, that's where you go.
So it sounds like it's kind of got like a World War Z kind of feel to it. The book, not the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ron motherfucking Perlman did the voice of Hook. Mm-hmm. This, honestly, that's the cast that right there, right?
Yeah.
Ron Perlman is Hook, and Elijah Wood is Peter Pan. Because Elijah Wood is going to look like he's 16 forever.
That's true. Didn't he just turn 40?
Yeah.
You want to feel old?
This is awesome. Jesse, thank you for this. I actually might be buying these books, because that looks great.
They're very good. They're very good. It's not even a long series either.
Wow. Okay, yeah, I'm sold. That sounds awesome. Okay, well, let's do something else in that vein. What would be some fun, like, new settings to introduce Peter Pan to? Or, like, you know, like, genre set pieces?
You could do Castaway with Hook after you separate from his crew.
Okay. I would watch that.
And he has a coconut named Peter that he regularly he regularly torments, but he's the only one he can rely on as a constant.
No, the coconut's got to be Smee, and then...
Yeah, I was about to say, it's got to be Smee.
And then, like, a shark that is near the island is Peter. He's, like, constantly eating the fish that he's fishing for.
Blast that, Peter Pan. He takes all me fish.
Or I guess a crocodile would be better, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
depends on what waters they're in.
Castaway Hook, I like that. The Hook movie did some kind of interesting stuff in, like, talking about, you know, growing up and revisiting your childhood and stuff. What if you did, like, I guess like a sequel to Peter Panzerfaust, where it's about these guys coming home, like the Lost Boys come home, and then as they're feeling nostalgic, they're like going through all their old stuff. So it's like like Saving Private Ryan, the grown-up aspect, right? Or I guess maybe more similar to like Big Fish, in the way that it's like a look back at his life and it's a little extra whimsical.
I can see that, yeah. I like Big Fish.
Just call it The Lost Boys, and it's about them, like, you know, revisiting.
Well, you can't call it Lost Boys. That movie already exists.
Oh, damn it. No, you're right.
The Lost Boys of Neverland.
Okay.
Separate trademark.
Yeah, I like that.
The movie as is kind of talked about it a little, but didn't really. You could explore Neverland as like a sort of limbo for people who are not. All right, screw the movie. You just explore Neverland as like, what if kids or whoever who are at death's door, they go to Neverland, and Neverland is just a transitional area between life and death.
Yeah, that's
going
been
real dark.
That's been a take that I've seen over the years. People reading Neverland as like purgatory or heaven or whatever, and Peter's the angel that's like ushering the boys through. There's a very dark read that is actually canonical to the books. Basically, if Lost Boy, so in Neverland, you can decide to grow up. You can actively make the choice and then start to grow. And any Lost Boy that does that, it is heavily implied that Peter Pan kills them, and or they become the pirates that work for Hook. I would love
that.
Yeah, no, that like. For real, this is part of the books, is Peter takes care of them if they decide to grow up, which has been read as either they become a pirate or he kills them. I would love basically Rambo Peter Pan.
Not Rambo Last Blood Peter Pan, please.
No. But in I like First Blood Rambo Peter Pan, where he's like, his refusal to grow up is a character defect, and we're seeing like his reaction to a crew of Lost Boys as they decide to grow. They decide to grow up, and so he's like out in the jungles of Neverland trying to take them down as they're trying to maybe even put some Predator in there. They're trying to get to a certain...
I was just thinking Predator.
Yeah. They're trying to get to like a certain port for the escape where Captain Hook will be. And this is your read where Captain Hook's a good guy. He's like taking in the Lost Boys so they don't get murdered by Peter Pan.
That could be fun if you take into account that everyone can fly and you have to plan traps accommodating for moving in like three-dimensional space.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. It's kind of like Ender's Game, where they have to plan in three dimensions.
When
they're in the gravity areas.
The battle room, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That could be cool. I think that would be like it's the kind of thing where you wouldn't want to announce that it's Peter Pan. You just, you know, have people show up to the movie and then like figure out that it's Peter Pan. Like you want it to be a little secretive so people don't automatically get turned off by the idea. What else? What are some other genres we haven't touched on? I feel like a Peter Pan Western doesn't quite work, but I guess I didn't think Peter Pan and the Nazis would work, and it apparently does.
I mean, Western, we kind of did it with Fantastic Beasts, so we can't do that.
Okay, sure.
I don't want to say cyberpunk. That doesn't work.
Yeah, I was going to say steampunk, but then it's kind of like that feels almost like the same thing.
Yeah, it's just any kind of punk thing doesn't work with Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You do a horror movie of someone just appearing on Neverland and trying to survive the Neverbirds and the mermaids that just want to eat you up.
Okay.
Oh, that brings up one thing I wanted to point out. Cara Delevingne is in this movie.
Yes.
As a mermaid with no lines. She is too good for this movie.
She's multiple mermaids, and it's just her CGI face.
Why?
kind of creepy. I feel like they called that in as a favor or something. Maybe she's friends with Joe Wright.
I don't know.
Who knows? I think the last idea I had for like a elevator style pitch is like futuristic Peter Pan, where it's not readily apparent that it's Peter Pan because everyone can fly because of jetpacks and things like that. But then you get to do the kind of edgier twist of like Neverland is maybe a city or a planet or something, and everyone's trying to get there, but then fairy dust is like a drug instead of making people fly. You know what I mean? Like you do like real world futuristic equivalents to everything, and that makes it separate enough from Peter Pan that it becomes a new IP of kinds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just had a thought. So I've been on a Dark Souls kick lately.
Oh yeah,
yeah. What if it was like Dark Souls, where Peter gets reincarnated, comes back, and finds that Neverland has been destroyed?
Ooh.
And he has to go on like a quest by himself to find out what the hell happened.
I like that. Okay, so like the storytelling kind of happens in the background, as because it would be like a very low dialogue movie at that point, right?
Yeah. Oh, we're getting Chad Stahelski's Peter Pan movie.
I'm okay with that.
I'd watch it. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds cool. I like that idea. Would you see any other characters showing up, or is this like very much a kind of one actor movie?
You could have like random characters showing up, like secondary character, like Smee is still around or something like that.
Oh yeah, okay, I like that.
Yeah, Hook is long since dead. All the other characters are long since gone. Like you'd have like maybe one of the random Lost Boys being in there. Because you got to have him talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he runs across like a super decrepit old woman, and it turns out it's Wendy. She like got real old and then decided to come back to Neverland.
Yeah.
So then what would the apocalyptic event have been?
You ever seen Neverending Story?
Yeah. Isn't it like is it the darkness or the...
The nothing.
The nothing.
Because people stop believing that that you know, imagination and fantasy exists.
Right.
So, it's the whole thing of Peter Pan is that you have to, it's all about faith and belief and stuff like that. If people have no more faith and no one believes in anything anymore, doesn't Neverland cease to exist?
Yeah, I mean that's like the background for the fairies too, right? Is if you say you don't believe in fairies, it kills the fairies.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like tied into the
The very super nihilistic, depressing world we live in right now. So basically, what I'm saying is Peter Pan now.
Damn. That is dark. I like it, though.
Science stole all our miracles.
Yeah, yeah, I like that idea. Maybe, like, Peter's kind of always been on the warpath against it because it is, you know, sucking all of the life out of... his world, because is it like the Netherlands or Holland or whatever, where they still believe in like trolls and fairies, like for real?
I don't know. Maybe it's Ireland.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's definitely one of those like European nations that like they're kind of glib about it, but they definitely genuinely still believe because they want
Iceland.
Iceland, that's it. Okay. Yeah.
I saw the Eurovision movie.
Because they're that's where the Troll Hunter, that like found footage movie, the last Troll Hunter or Troll Hunter or whatever. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah,
it's great.
No, I have not seen it.
It is genuinely probably one of the better found footage movies made. Because the whole thing's like kind of tongue in cheek. It's like, it's not exactly funny, but it is funny to like watch and look at. And then he went on to do that new movie Mortal with the kid from Hereditary, where he's like, he's Thor.
Oh yeah. I remember seeing a trailer for that.
It is actually genuinely pretty good. I watched it the other week. I rented it on Amazon. It's not, they buried the lead for me. I didn't know it was about Thor, and so about halfway through the movie I'm going, wait, is this kid like related to Thor? This feels like a Thor story. And then it like hard in the paint turns into a Thor story, and I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know that when I started. But it's pretty good.
I wonder if they'll apply any of that stuff to the new Thor movie on the way from Marvel.
I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything for our listeners because of the newest episode of WandaVision, but I might be back on the bus. They might have grabbed me again.
We'll see. It's what I keep hearing.
If there was one thing that was going to get my butt back in the seats, it was that. And the potential of what that means. I know I'm being obviously vague, but I'm trying not to spoil anything for anyone. If you know, put it that way. And much to Film Rescue fashion, we are now 10 light years away from Peter Pan.
On brand. We don't want to talk about the movie anymore.
Yeah, I think maybe the point of this episode is that because it is open IP for anyone to use, and
you can use anything you want.
Yeah, and you know, you literally brought us proof that the character can apply to totally different settings and still work. So maybe what's your pitch for a Peter Pan movie, listener? Would you do a straight-up retelling, or would you mix it in with a new flavor or genre? I feel like Peter Pan, Frankenstein, Sherlock Holmes, all these characters are like primed for brand new takes. And
I do have...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I do have one more idea for a pitch, but I'm not really sure what to do with it, because I'm probably not the person to develop it, but for some reason I can't get the idea out of my head of like a Peter Pan story that starts with Tinkerbell murdering Peter Pan because he did something terrible and she has to clean up his mess now.
In a Neverland setting, or are you thinking like a real world setting, or where are you going with it?
I was thinking Peter Pan like screwed up Neverland Royal, and Tinkerbell took him out, and now she has to pick up the pieces.
Interesting.
That's my one sentence pitch. Doesn't get much farther than that. Sorry.
Is there a like antagonist to the film? I guess I'm looking for the push of the movie beyond cleaning up.
I imagine like everybody, the Lost Boys, the pirates, the mermaids.
It kind of sounds like John Wick, Tinkerbell, a little bit.
I guess so.
I'm not opposed to it. I would be interested to see what, like the plot
Mad
structure.
Mad Max Tinkerbell.
I would actually genuinely watch a Mad Max style Peter Pan movie. Like, basically, Neverland is not a desert; it's a jungle. But that's still that like kind of like forward momentum kind of movie. You know, Hook sends a new crew out to find Peter and the Lost Boys, and they take off in maybe there's somebody that can't fly.
Oh, maybe Peter like cut a deal with Hook, or Peter decided I'm actually going to grow up, and Tinkerbell just couldn't handle that.
Okay.
Doesn't that make her like a jealous girlfriend though?
I mean,
with Hook?
No, with Peter. Aren't they supposed to be a couple or something like that?
Kind of. She has feelings for him. I have intentionally kind of avoided the weirdness of J.M. Barrie and the backstory of Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't really deep dive Peter Pan without talking about him, which then always sidesteps into Michael Jackson, and it's just a whole can of worms not worth opening. But yes, to answer your question, Tinkerbell has romantic feelings for Peter Pan. I like the idea overall. I want to see more. Maybe that's another one to open up to the listeners, is how would you develop Nick's idea here?
Yeah, why would you have Tinkerbell murder Peter Pan?
I guess I would, if it's me, I would do it out of like, maybe jealousy. Cause isn't that like the middle of the Peter Pan proper movie where when Wendy shows up, she like tries to murder Wendy?
Yeah. It is.
I wouldn't have her try to murder Peter out of Wendy, cause that feels really trite and played out.
Also, don't the mermaids try to kill Wendy out of jealousy as well?
Oh yeah, they try to drown her.
Do all the women in Neverland want to fuck Peter Pan? Is that?
I guess so.
Sounds like it.
I don't know how I feel about that.
If Peter ever has to fuck a mermaid, that basically means that it can be played by Robert Pattinson. So there you go.
Wow, what a reference!
Dug back for that one.
If you don't get that one, you're not allowed to get that one. I think this is a good closing point.
I wish the episode was longer, but there's not much to talk about.
Yeah, we're grasping at straws at this point. A fun comedy romp version is definitely the one that I would like to see most of all, just to get the taste of Pan out of my mouth. But I think we've shown that anything could work pretty well. This is a very flexible character and setting and idea.
Yeah. I mean, a fun comedy romp does exist. It's called Hook.
Yeah, true.
That has like a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was terribly reviewed when it came out, and I don't understand why. It's long. Like, it is definitely a very long movie, but that's
the
only...
it's way too long. Yeah. It looks a little cheap. It looks a little cheap, though. That's the other negative I'd give it, is it's a little too long and it looks a little cheap.
Yeah, the sets are...
clearly sets.
Yeah, like very clearly sets. However, I think to me that adds to the charm of it, but that's just me.
I think it's meant to be a reference back to the stage version of Peter Pan.
Sure.
Is that around the time?
It's everything.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be, just a reference to that or homage to that.
Right.
Go ahead, Nick. What were you saying?
Was that around the time when people were getting sick of Spielberg and trying to make everything like sentimental and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
there was a period where Hollywood turned on Spielberg.
Yeah, I think not too long after that, he followed up with Saving Private Ryan and got his head out of his ass.
Yeah, good old Spielberg. What a guy. I think it's time for our final plugs. Nick, do you want anything you want to plug here at the end of the episode? Thank you for jumping on as a host last minute for us. Sorry you had to watch this one.
That's all right. Like I said, I enjoyed the first half. I just wish I had stopped at that first half. Hit me up at on Discord at Nick Wolf, capital NIC space capital WOOLFE. I'm at hashtag 0760. And I'm also on Reddit at u/myckount, where I talk about other little fixes to other movies. And that's a lot of fun. And I'm also on J.D. Martin's podcast, The Comics Quest. This is my third time being on that, and we talk about Batman Universe, which is a lot of fun.
Nice. Maybe you guys can talk about... Peter Panzerfaust at some point.
We intend to talk about Tom King's Vision at the end of February, beginning of March, but I'll bring it up to him.
Tom King's Vision is fantastic.
Absolutely. Jesse, how about you? Where can people check you out and what you do?
You can find me on Twitter at Hardcore B-Shots. Also, we have two other podcasts. We have Split the Difference, where we have an original film be compared to its remake. And we also have Palette Cleanser, where we just discuss good movies. I think the next episode we're supposed to do is Reservoir Dogs.
That is correct. My pick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to get to that eventually. We also have That Weird-Ass Game, where we discuss weird, unusual games. That's kind of off-season at the moment because I am currently working in Richmond, Virginia, and I just don't have a lot of time to play games.
Yeah.
So that is kind of on hiatus for about maybe another month or so. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Absolutely. As for me, you can check me out at Seth X Decker on basically all social media platforms. I try to keep things consistent across. If you would like to be on the show, you can check us out at Film Rescue Show or send an email to filmrescueshow@gmail.com. We don't specifically have to talk about bad movies. I'm going to reiterate that a lot this season. I would like to point out that if there's a good movie that you like and would just change like one thing about it, we can still discuss that movie. We don't have to always do bad movies. apart from that, you can support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/montressormedia. For $1, you get early access, extended episodes, unreleased episodes, exclusive content such as our kind of off and on again talk show where we just talk about things and stuff. We've been off of that for a minute. We now have something to talk about thanks to WandaVision, so maybe we'll be scheduling a new episode soon. I think that's it. Thank you both for being on the show.
Of course.
Glad to be here.
Good that we knocked this one off the crap. We knocked this one off the crap list, thank God.
And kept it nice and tight, under 90 minutes. less time than it takes to watch the actual movie. I think that's going to do it for this one. We'll see you next time for Branded. Oh boy, Jesse.
Great.
Wow.
I asked for it. I know.
If anything, it gives us an excuse to watch They Live.
They Live, and also I'm going to dig into some Noam Chomsky.
Oh, interesting. Hey,
yeah.
I didn't know that. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for this one. Thank you for listening, and good night.
To you, the Jimi Hendrix-ish music.
Here we are now. Entertain us.
Is this Canada?
Are you fucking kidding me, Craig?
Craig, just jump back in for no reason. There's a ghost in the machine.
Speaking of the arch nemesis of this show, I have to write this down. I don't even know if I should cut this out.
Don't. It'll be great.
We use this service on Discord called Craig. He's a bot that records our audio as a backup. He's fickle as all get out, and it has to have at least been 10 minutes ago when I told him to leave.
And now he won't leave.
And then he just jumps into the chat.
Craig, you're a picky, fickle bitch.
You know what? It's knowing my luck, he's probably not actually recording anything either. I hate Craig. I hate Craig so much. I need someone, please make a better Craig.
Fuck off, Craig.